The Fan on Demand. Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome to Primetime Sports for Tuesday, July 22nd. I'm Jeff Blair, sitting in for Bob McCowan. Dave Perkins of the Toronto Star will join us. Lots to talk about today. The Maple Leafs signing or hiring an assistant GM, a numbers guy. And the Toronto Blue Jays making a bunch of moves, promoting Aaron Sanchez and seeing Chase Headley, who was one of their reported trade targets, go to the New York Yankees. For the life of me, I can't understand why the hell anybody on Twitter would be worked up at all about Chase Headley. I can't understand that at all. He's a guy who's always hurt. And so let the Yankees have him. We'll take your calls on Chase Headley. We'll take your calls on the Leafs. But before that, we want to deal with Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock, for those of you who don't know, is a opinionated, high-profile columnist and commentator in the United States. I first met him when he was a columnist in Kansas City. This is what Jason Whitlock said to Keith Olbermann about Canada and Canadian athletes. The Canadian athletes, and he was talking about Andrew Wiggins and whether or not the Cleveland Cavaliers would trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love. Canadian athletes perhaps don't want it as much as some of the Americans and certainly as some of the Europeans and certainly the American players. He talked about Andrew Wiggins' effort and intensity sometimes was inconsistent at Kansas, and that might be a personality quirk he'll have to deal with through his career. But this is kind of the nut of the story. Jason Whitlock insists that a lot of NBA people believe that American-born players have more intensity and they're not as laid back as Canadian players. Now, he does say Canada's laid back, which is probably a positive thing. Jason, I just got to ask you, were you just trying to be a xenophobic sort of inward-looking American with little interest in areas outside your borders? Or do you really mean this? Because, I mean, I got to tell you something. I've covered sports for 30 years, and I've met a lot of American athletes that were pussies.
Oh, I think I was trying to respond to Keith's question about what might be driving the Cavaliers to try to package Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett for Kevin Love. And I was passing on what some NBA people believe about Canadian basketball players.
You don't think it's a generality?
Oh, I do think it's a generality.
Because, like, I don't believe Steve Nash was soft. I thought he played with a fair amount of intensity.
I will say that I didn't say that I didn't use the word soft. I do think that one of the analogies I didn't get into, but I've gotten into in subsequent interviews, is just I think in hockey in Canada, there's probably a belief that American players just aren't as passionate about the sport. And I think that's true. I think that in Canada, the culture has embraced hockey like a religion. Like we have in basketball over here, it's a religion for us. And I think the people that are very familiar with my work understand I'm a critic of American culture. And so I think some of the things people are getting offended about are actually things that I didn't mean as a criticism at all. Mm-hmm. I think we've overdone basketball here. I think we've overdone all sports here. I think that our pursuit of financial rewards through athletics is overdone here. And I think that the NBA to reflect that, and that there's perhaps some questions about whether other cultures, including Canadian cultures, have that same overdone zealousness for basketball. And I think the analogy between, again, hockey in Canada and hockey in America works. And again, I am someone who is critical of how much energy and focus we put into basketball here in America. And, yes, I'm very well aware of Steve Nash and other Canadian athletes that, you know, have been tremendous. But I do think this is part of the thinking here in America, and perhaps part of the questioning of Andrew Wiggins that goes beyond what we saw at Kansas. Was a guy that, struggled, I think, with consistency of effort. I think there's a pervasive thought about that. But again, I'll just say this. There are some generalities that are true. I think, and I jokingly said this last night on Overman's show, and I'll restate it here more seriously, I think if people made a generality that America has a problem with gluttony and that we oversize everything as it relates to food. And if I tried to say on TV that, you know, perhaps my eating problem, my weight problem is a reflection of an American culture that overdoes gluttony. I don't think anyone would think that I was crazy. And we could point to all millions of Americans who don't have a weight problem and are in perfect health. But the generality is still true. We have a problem with gluttony here in America. And so I'm trying to say that in America, we overdo basketball. And the people that overdo basketball might think, well, Canada doesn't overdo basketball. And I wonder if part of the reason why Andrew, with his consistency in terms of intensity, might be because they haven't overdone basketball. And I don't think it was a comment made to be insensitive or offensive to Canadians. But we are in a state now, both here in America and across the globe, where people tend to overreact and look for reasons to be outraged about everything.
That is very true. That's why we do talk radio. Jason Whitlock joins us on Primetime Sports. You know, it's funny you mentioned, you drew a parallel to hockey, because it's true, and I'm 54 years old. I was lucky enough to be around when the European invasion of hockey happened. And I can remember, you know, I can remember people saying, you look at Swedish players, I mean, they're weaker than Canadians, they're not going to fight, yada, yada. And what actually happened in hockey is, I think a lot of people over the course of and it took a few years, sort of started to realize that there was a different type of strength you saw from the European players. The strength not to react, the strength to sort of get back at some of the more thuggish players by scoring three goals in a game, as opposed to going out and beating the hell out of somebody. But it is true that there is one of the things we do in sports is we do love to generalize. And it takes almost a transcendent figure at times to end the generalization, doesn't it?
Well, again, all generalities are not false, and some of them are based in truth. Again, I'll just go back to over here in America, we've got a problem with gluttony. And I think our medical records prove it, the diseases and things that we have over here that aren't as pervasive in other societies. And so I'm not sure if Canada wants to disprove the myth that, hey, that they haven't overdone basketball. Because, again, I don't know if it would be appropriate for America to be as obsessed with hockey as they are in Canada. So, some things are blessings and we don't even know them. But I will say this, as it relates to Andrew Wiggins, there are questions about his intensity.
That is true.
People are trying to figure out why that is. And yes, I think, if you also look in American basketball and in the NBA in particular, the European style of play is being embraced. The Spurs just clown-suited the Cleveland Cavaliers. In my opinion, they did it 2 years in a row, but the Heat got lucky last year and won the title. But this year, the Spurs, with an international lineup, I think 9 players from born outside of America, beat up the Heat pretty good. And that's being embraced. And so there are some advantages in terms of style of play and things like that that international players bring to the table that American players perhaps don't. But when it comes to intensity, and we heard this criticism of Dirk Nowitzki for years.
True.
he couldn't get it done in the NBA because, you know, he didn't have that dog in him. And so now similar questions are being asked about Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, perhaps Tristan Thompson. And, you know, I would ask people to not be offended because, one, perhaps you guys have it figured out better than us because we're a sports-obsessed nation over here, and our priorities aren't in order, and we're falling behind academically, educationally, and things like that. So, you know, the perspective I tried to get across on Overman's show, probably not the biggest platform, not the most time to expound on my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my thoughts are based in logic and in a perspective that's critical of American culture.
What does Andrew Wiggins have to do, do you think, to – is it simply a matter of showing that he's tough? Or what do you think he has to do to change this opinion of him? Because part of the reason – I was going to say part of the –
questions are about toughness, though.
Right.
I think it's about intensity and consistency of intensity and the desire to want to be the best player on the court every minute that he's on the court. I think that, and again, I worked in Kansas City for 16 years,
mm-hmm.
followed the Kansas basketball program, watched him play this year. Sometimes he disappeared on the basketball court. And, you know, and he's the most talented player out there. And perhaps, you know, what I think some people are questioning is, does he want to impose his will all the time when he's on the court? Because the NBA is a grind. It's an 82-game schedule. It's back-to-back games. It's 3 games in 4 nights. Can he bring it every night in the NBA is a question. And, again, when you're in a basketball-obsessed country like America and where kids have been dreaming their whole life about playing in the NBA and sacrificing everything, that's the mentality. It's no different than hockey over in Canada. And I would tend to think that, you know, a lot of Canadians watch talented Americans come to the CHL and they go, I wonder if those guys want it as much as the Canadian kids do.
Oh, Don Cherry's made a career out of questioning whether or not American players have the same heart as Canadians.
Yeah, so... And I don't, and I know Don Cherry or know his work well. I don't think I'm coming from the same place because I think a lot of his is shtick and it's a television performance. But, and again, I don't see it as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
If people have sports and athletic competition more in perspective than we do here in America, I pat them on the back and say, you know, God bless you. I wish we had more of that. But, you know, I'm not running an NBA team. I'm not an NBA player. I'm not an NBA coach. So perhaps my desires are different than theirs.
Well, and don't you think we're joined, by the way, by Jason Whitlock. Don't you think that part of the issue with Andrew Wiggins and maybe even Anthony Bennett as well is, you know, I'm a big believer that the NBA has to look at the whole issue of players coming out after a year of college. And, you know, I don't know whether it's allowing kids to declare for the draft and then maybe re-enter college. I mean, I think we know enough about college sports by now to know that they're probably not going to be polluted by closeness to money. I mean, there's enough money in college sports. I mean, there's enough of that around that I think we can say that a player could try out for an NBA team, maybe not make it and go back to college, and he's not certainly not going to pollute the environment there. Hey, do you think maybe as much as anything, we've got to look at maybe allowing these kids, giving them a little wiggle room here? You know, if you declare and you A, don't like where you're drafted, or B, it doesn't work out in camp, you go back to college.
Well, I don't think that question applies to Andrew Wiggins. He was drafted number one. I'm sure he's quite happy and ready to get on with his career. But yes, does the college football and basketball system, in my opinion, need to be overhauled? And these players, for the most part, could benefit from more time spent in college, no question about it. And, you know, I've long been a proponent of that and written many columns about that and suggestions on ways that I would fix that. But, you know, that's something I would love to see. I would love to see the guys stay in college basketball for 3 and 4 years like they used to. I think it would help them learn to compete, learn to play the game. learn what winning is really about before just jumping to the NBA at 19 before they're ready.
Jason, good of you to join us. I appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That is Jason Whitlock, who has an opinion and is not afraid to express his opinion. And it's all over Twitter. Saying that Canadian athletes, and he's referring to basketball players, perhaps don't want it as much as Americans and Europeans. Referring specifically to Andrew Wiggins about his effort and intensity sometimes being inconsistent at Kansas, and that a lot of NBA people believe that American-born players have more intensity. I think maybe part of the issue is that I think American basketball fans have a tendency just to assume that Canadians, and I would argue with this, I think Europeans as well, don't play with the same intensity. I mean, I think there's a couple of different standards that Canadian and European players are held to, or that international players are held to, compared to American-born players. And I think it's, you know what, I think it's the same in every sport, in the quote-unquote home of every sport. I have always believed that in Canada, we hold European and American-born hockey players to a different standard. They have to do more things to impress us than Canadian players do. We assume an inherent weakness on the part of European hockey players. We still do. Even though, pick a name, even though countless European players have kind of put the lie to that. But we still have that opinion. And in some ways, I can see where Americans might have it in basketball. I just thought it was a horrible generalization to say Canadian athletes perhaps don't want it as much as Americans and Europeans. Especially in basketball. So I want to get your thoughts on Jason Whitlock's comments. The numbers are 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Can also talk about the Blue Jays. Chase Headley acquired by the New York Yankees. So much for him coming to Toronto, and thank God, I say. The last thing the Jays need is another project. They've got enough projects. The Toronto Maple Leafs signing a new assistant general manager, a monies guy, or a numbers guy, Kyle Dubas. Part, I guess, of the new wave of hockey stats guys. That'll create a lot of controversy. So we'll take your calls on, is this a new era for the Leafs? Is it a welcome change in culture? You're not getting new players in here, although they did sign David Booth. You're not getting new players in here, but you're getting new assistant coaches. You've got a new assistant general manager. There will be another hiring as well. Kyle Dubas, by the way, will join us at 5:15. So we can talk Jays. We can talk Leafs. We can talk Jason Whitlock. The lines are yours. 416-870-0590. Star 591, 888-666-0590. Daniel in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
Good, man. What's up?
First of all, I think that it's awesome that you had Whitlock on just after he made the comments. I think that you're on point when you say that he was making a huge, huge generalization. You know, if you wanted to stick to the specific player at hand, then yes, I do agree that there are times where Andrew Wiggins would disappear on the floor. That was the term that he used. Even in a summer league game, there was a time where he wasn't asking for the ball as much as he should have. And that's a league where you're supposed to basically take advantage of the fact that you're there to show your talent.
Right.
You know, that's what the whole league is about. You know, if he's making a blanket statement like that, is he putting Rick Fox into the mix? Is he putting Bill Wennington into the mix? I mean, you know, is he putting Jamal McGoor, who was an all-star, into the mix? I mean, like you said, it's very, very generalizing. And the last comment I'll make is about Steve Nash, who at one point put his own nose back into place in the middle of a game, played with a chipped tooth and made fun of it, and not to mention won two MVPs, to say the least. So, you know, to say that Canadian basketball players don't have that drive, I mean, if they wouldn't have that drive, they wouldn't be striving to be in the NBA, which we all are, right?
Here's the thing. I initially, when I read this, and I know I've sat beside Jason at different events at a couple of World Series and actually a couple of playoff football games as well. So, and I mean, we're not personal friends, but I like a lot of Jason's work, and Jason's one of the few people who is not afraid to call the power brokers in U.S. sports to account. And Jason's also, quite frankly, not afraid to go after, you know, some of the sacred cows of American sports. And he's as an African American commentator, he goes right after African American issues, and he's usually on point. So I've got to admit, when I first read this, I thought, okay, this is kind of Jason, just kind of, as Jason sometimes does, just sort of starting with the generality, then trying to spin it into something specific. But you know, I think there's probably an element. There's probably an element of, wouldn't say legitimacy to it, because you don't make general comments about athletes. And as a Canadian hockey fan, I think it's safe to say that we can all agree that whatever prejudices we may have had against European players have really changed. We don't look at European players anymore as being soft. You know, that Don Cherry will still criticize them for things. But anybody who watched Peter Forsberg play or Boreas Salming play, hell, anybody who watched Anders Hedberg and Ulf Nilsson when they came into the WHA, as I did, and saw what they went through, saw how they were gooned up, and how they responded by not backing down, but by going out and scoring goals and making plays. You know, we've changed our mindset about European players over the years. And that happens. It does happen. And as for Andrew Wiggins, I will say this for Jason Whitlock. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, as he says, was absolutely criticized for some of his inconsistencies at Kansas. I would argue, though, that's probably less that Andrew Wiggins is a Canadian than he is a teenager. You always make the point. How many teenagers do you know that are inconsistent at something? Think back to when you were a teenager. Would the word consistency been used to describe you? Sure as hell wouldn't have been used to describe me. But you know what? We thought it was important to get Jason Whitlock on because their comments are getting a lot of play. And you give a guy a chance to explain himself. And I think he explained himself. Jason in Toronto. You're in Primetime Sports. What's up, Jason?
I just wanted to comment on the same thing and how I think that it's a ridiculous statement. When you think about where we come from, you come from playing Canadian basketball, spends 1 year in the NCAA, where I don't believe our level of basketball is the same as the NCAA. And then now he's jumping to playing with, you know, pros or semi-pros. I don't think there's nothing that Wiggins is going to be able to do to ever get rid of the idea that he's either not necessarily soft, but that he's not going to be strong enough or he's not going to be intense enough. They're just always going to try and label him that because, you know, the C2 Canadians go in the first round, go first overall. You know, there's been other players that have done the same thing and haven't shown, you know, their greatness in their first few games. Mm-hmm. Look at Kobe, look at Garnett. Like when they came into the league, they ended up looking like they were lost.
Yeah.
So you just have to give them time.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there has been criticism of Andrew Wiggins, but I mean, my God, he's a teenager. Like I said, consistency, inconsistency. I don't know any teenagers that are consistent. 416-870-0. Well, I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. By the way, Kyle Dubas, the new assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he will join us at 5:15. Alex Anthopoulos at 5:40. So I get to ask him the Chase Headley question. Jonah Carey of Grantland will be along. True story. Jonah Carey's book, The Extra 2%, was made required reading of all front office staff, the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, when Kyle Dubas was general manager. So all you hockey stats heads out there, this is going to be great. I cannot think of anything. I'm so looking forward to this. I can't think of anything I'm looking forward to anymore. The battle between fancy stats guys and old school hockey guys is going to be played out in Toronto. That is awesome. We could talk about that. We could talk about the Jays. Midland and Markham, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hi, I just want to express my disinterest. I mean, sorry, my, like, I'm really disappointing you, Jeff, hearing you over the years. You've been a big inspiration for me, but you...
Oh, man, you need to get a life if I'm an inspiration for you, dude. Holy cow.
Well, I kind of want to go into broadcasting, and you've been, like, yeah, you are part of the Sportsnet 590 crew that's inspired me. Anyways... You let this guy off the hook, man. Like, Anthony Bennett, this guy works his butt off. I mean, you talk about the work he's put in this offseason. He looks great. Also, when you think about where he's come from and the neighborhood, Jane and Finch, he's been brought up in...
Yeah, but of course, I said that you can't make horrible generalities. And I didn't bring up Anthony Bennett because he was talking specifically about Andrew Wiggins.
But
it's the same thing. Look, of course there's other cases. I mean, I threw out Steve Nash. You can't say that Steve Nash... You can't say that Steve Nash isn't tough. Why didn't I pull out Anthony Bennett? Because I pulled out Steve Nash instead. So I'm sorry I didn't pull out Anthony Bennett. Anthony Bennett's tough.
With the... point out more flaws in his argument. He kept saying that these Europeans have less intensity and these Canadians. Did you at once say you disagree with him?
He said that Europeans and American players in the NBA, people in the NBA consider them to have more intensity than Canadians. Yeah. They do. I mean, if that's what he says, that Americans have that attitude, I'm saying the attitude's wrong.
Did you say that to him?
Yeah, I do believe people got the impression I wasn't happy with him. I could be wrong. But, you know, the other thing, Midland, I'm not going to bring Jason Whitlock on and hammer him for 15 minutes.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you to hammer him for 15 minutes. I would like to see you bring up more points, though. He kind of, like, talked for a pretty long time there.
Yeah, that's because he's the guest on the show.
Well, yeah, I still expect the host of the show to respond.
By bringing out Anthony Bennett.
Well, bringing out Anthony Bennett, you can bring out some of the European players. You talk about Ginobili, Parker, how hard they played.
Yeah, but he said they play harder than Canadians. He said that. You're not hearing. He said that Americans think that Europeans and Canadians, or Europeans and Americans, play harder than Canadians. That's what he's saying. He was not calling down European players.
Well, I think if you listen back to the tape, he did say that.
I've got it right in front of me. This is the quote. Canadian athletes perhaps don't want it as much as some of the Europeans and certainly the American players. That's the quote.
That's the quote he said coming into the show, but I'm talking about what he said during the show.
We were talking about what he said coming into the show. Anyhow, you know, Midland, I'm not going to change your mind. Whatever. And if you don't go into radio because of that, sorry. Justin in Burlington, you're in Primetime Sports.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for
taking the call. Should probably go into law anyhow if you want to make money, Midland. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, probably tax law is probably his best bet, too.
Go ahead.
Oh, hey, sorry about that.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, basically, I just wanted to say I think I was pretty shocked to hear that guy's comments, first of all. I just heard about it. Just turned on my radio, just got done work, and was pretty shocked. So I think the way you approached it was good, Jeff, and I think, to me, my opinion is that it's just kind of traditional American arrogance trying to kick the feet out from a young, you know, up-and-coming star. And I don't think they're happy that we've taken, you know, I think it's three number one overall picks in the last 4 years. So I think it's, you know, they're just frustrated and unhappy with that. So that's
the only thing I would say about that is I don't think you can accuse Jason Whitlock of being a spokesperson. For the NBA power structure. Jason's pretty critical of the NBA, and he is pretty critical of a lot of things that go on in professional sports in the United States. I just think, you know, you can't make generalities. You can't. We know that now. I mean, one of the problems we have in this world is that everybody makes generalities about people, and you just can't do that. You can't do that because you don't know what has gone into making that person what they are. And further, I'll go beyond that. You know, the way the world is right now with social media, with kids traveling to play sports, kids now have done a lot more by the time, athletes in particular, have done more by the time they're in their late teens than athletes my, you know, my age ever did. So I think there's a real danger in generalizing. I think people are more world aware. Athletes in general are more world aware than they've been in the past, because a lot of them have traveled to Europe to play in competitions when they were young kids or in the States. I don't think they're as insular as athletes were back when I was younger. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We'll continue our discussion on Jason Whitlock's comments. We'll talk about the Blue Jays. You want to talk about the Leafs as well? We can do that. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. Don't forget, by the way, the Jays and Red Sox will play their second of a four-game series tonight at the Rogers Center. 7:07, first pitch will be right here in Sportsnet. 590 The Fan. And on Sportsnet, J-Hap against Jake Peavy. The Jays making a bit of news today. They have called up their top pitching prospect, Aaron Sanchez. He will pitch out of the bullpen for the Jays. This after two outings in the bullpen at AAA. They've also brought up Ryan Goins, an infielder, and Esmil Rogers. They have designated for assignment Brad Mills, who was part of last night's arson squad in the 14-1 loss to the Red Sox. And Sanchez, I mean, the Jays said Sanchez was going to be up sometime after the All-Star break. That's a reason they moved him in the bullpen. But I think a lot of us thought it would be a little later, maybe later in the week. So big moves on the part of the Blue Jays, the Toronto Maple Leafs, firing Dave Poulin and Claude Loisel. Kyle Dubas, 28-year-old former general manager of the Sioux Greyhounds, has been named as the Leafs' assistant general manager. He was the youngest GM in OHL history. He was GM at the age of 25 when he got the job in 2011. And yes, he's a numbers guy. That'll be a great debate early in the season. Kyle Dubas will join us at 5:15, by the way. Alex Anthopoulos at 5:40. We are taking your calls on the Jays, on the Leafs, on Jason Whitlock's comments in our interview with Jason Whitlock. Quote, Canadian athletes perhaps don't want it as much as some of the Europeans and certainly the American players. Talking about why the Cleveland Cavaliers should consider trading Andrew Wiggins. Jason goes on, Andrew Wiggins' effort and intensity sometimes was inconsistent at Kansas, and that might be a personality quirk. I would argue that it might be the fact that he's a freaking teenager. And Jason Whitlock went on to say, this is what a lot of NBA people believe. American-born players have more intensity. They're not as laid back. Canada is a laid back, which is probably a positive thing. And as Jason said, look, he admitted he made a general, it was a generalization, but he also said that he, it wasn't necessarily meant as a pejorative. And if you're familiar with Jason's work, you know that he has often held people's feet to the fire when it comes to the U.S. sports establishment. So fair play to him for that. Brad in Toronto, you're in Primetime Sports. What's up, Brad?
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to touch on your interview that you did there with Jason. And when he said that he speaks in general terms, I think, like, generally NBA players, by and large, do not show a whole lot of intensity. And I'll just go back to in this city when we had Vince Carter, when he was regarded as, what, 1A or 1B to Kobe Bryant. And I think the thing that separated those two, like, you have superior talents on both sides, but that intensity that Kobe Bryant had, that Vince Carter just never had at all. And how many people in the NBA have that type of intensity that they're talking about? Like, that's just a rare thing. That's what makes greats great, is when you have supreme talent mixed with that intensity and the will to win.
You know what, Brad? I'm going to interrupt here because, you know, I don't know what it is about the NBA, but, I mean, the media seats used to be courtside at the ACC, and you'll see where I'm going with this. I mean, I love basketball. I love the NBA. But I have to admit, you know, I thought there were aspects of the game that I liked. I never considered the NBA to be an overly an overly physical league. I mean, I just didn't. There were other things I liked about it. When you sit courtside, or when you sit where we used to be able to sit, and you watch them go at it, and you start to watch basketball, you realize there is there is an intensity, but beyond that, there's probably more subtle physicality in an NBA game than any other sport. You know, you watch what those guys go through underneath the basket. That's, you know, you don't have any equipment on. You're a big guy. Yeah, you've got no equipment.
I didn't try to make it sound like that, Jeff. What I'm talking about is just taking plays off. Like the great players great are the ones that don't take that type of time off. I'm talking about your Magic Johnsons, your Larry Birds, your Michael Jordans. I think you would say that they may have had a little bit more intensity than Malone and Stockton. But they're great, you know, top 50 players of all time, but I don't think that they had that same intensity that maybe what separates that, you know, that 1% from the rest. And so what it comes down to is Wiggins. Will he have that fire that a LeBron James and Kobe Bryant have, or will he have more of the personality of a Vince Carter? And I guess we'll just have to find out.
Yeah, I have a problem generalizing about teenagers. I'm thinking back to what I was like when I was 18, 19, 20. Consistency was not a phrase that anybody, or a word that anybody would use to describe me. And, you know, if you're looking for consistency of effort and performance from a kid in his first year university, I mean, there's a chance that the kid's just going to be a teenager. And there's a chance that he's going to have to grow into his body. And this is the difficulty with sports. The innate difficulty with scouting in any sports is you're looking at teenagers and projecting them to be adults. And you can't do that with teenagers who aren't athletes, let alone teenagers who are tremendously talented athletes. And I guess that's what kind of got me about this, too. You're making a generality, and you're sort of basing it on a kid. Well, let's see how Andrew Wiggins responds. You know, let's see how he responds in the 40th game of the regular season when he's not feeling good, when he's beat up. Let's see how he responds. Dave in Woodstock, you're on Primetime Sports. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Jeff.
Hey, Dave.
Kind of want to switch gears a bit here. I've been reading an article in the Washington Post today, and I kind of suspected this would happen. And, of course, Keith Olbermann, who's never shy to get away from a publicity opportunity, starts to draw a line between Tony Dungy's comments regarding not drafting
Michael Sam,
and his religious beliefs. And then it's going to get on from there into
right.
the point where you're probably going to see, Tony doing apologies out of apologies. But at the end of the day, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because he says, you know, Tony Dungy, I believe in what he said. I believe in what he said. You know, you don't want the distraction. You don't want to.
You're talking about Michael Sam, the college player who came out of the closet and acknowledged that he was gay, and Tony Dungy saying he wouldn't have drafted him because he thought he would be a distraction.
A distraction in camp and things along that line. And I think it was an innocent, honest comment. This man's a Super Bowl winner. The Rams picked him, and there's really no story there. I mean, the world is evolving.
But yeah, what it
turned into, though, is now with Tony Dungy saying, I didn't want it to create a circus.
Right.
His comments have created a circus, and I'd like to hear your comments. Being in the sports world,
right,
you must have a feed from your colleagues.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you're Tony Dungy, and as you say, you've won a Super Bowl, you are a spokesperson. You are a role model. You are, let's say, I mean, he's a lead commentator in that network. Tony Dungy speaks. People listen. Tony Dungy, I think, was being honest. But I don't think he should have said what he said. Because when you are in his position, you've got to realize that you don't only represent people who share your views, or you aren't only being watched by people who share your views. You're being watched by people who may think otherwise. And I believe that it is the role of the media in general. When I say the media, I'm putting it in quotations, to be a conduit to exclusive or to inclusivity. I think it's the role of the media to make more people feel more welcome in society. And I mean, that's just the way I feel. And when Tony Dungy makes that comment, he's essentially saying he's excluding a person or a group of people. And I don't think you can do that. You may believe that. I mean, there are things I believe that I will not say on the air because I don't want to eliminate people from either listening to the show or being the best they want to be. I really don't. And I think that was the issue with Tony Dungy's statement, is it was essentially saying that he would keep somebody out of the game because of their professed sexual preference. I don't think you can do that in the media. Again, you may feel that. That's fine. I don't agree with it, but I understand people feel differently about different issues. But I really think it's our job to try to include people. Billy and Markham, you're in Primetime Sports.
Jeff, how you doing?
Good, man.
Jeff, listen, I'm going to switch it back to the Blue Jays, but one quick point. Jason Whitlock, if he was talking about, I hope he was talking about basketball players, because if he's talking about Canadians in general with hockey, I think just the opposite when we play them in hockey. I think the Americans are terrified of us playing it. You want to talk about grit?
He did say that. No, but he said that. He said that it's the same attitude that Canadians have about U.S. hockey players.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear that. Okay, yeah. Jeff, now I know you got Alex coming on, good old waiver wire Alex. And listen, I want you to ask him this for me, Jeff. Please,
all right.
Please ask him this.
I'm writing this down.
Okay, number one, I think, opinion first, that Eric Sanchez being called up as a smokescreen for, once again, Alex not doing nothing for the last 5 years with this baseball team.
Okay.
And number two, I want you to ask him, is there a concern with the Blue Jays? There has got to be a concern with the injuries. This is 2 years in a row now, and Jeff, if me and you are playing in a slow-pitch softball game and we run, we got a chance of pulling a hamstring or whatever because we're out of shape. But how is it that we got guys, four of them, that can't run down to first base? And that's all these guys do, Jeff, is stretch and run.
Yeah, but you're talking about injured players. Brett Laurie was hit by a pitch. Adam Lind fouled a ball off his foot. There isn't a trainer alive that can prevent that from happening. No, with all due respect, and I understand people criticize the Jays medical staff, but guy gets hit by a pitch on his hand, guy fouls a ball off his foot. You can't blame the medical staff for that. But you know what? We'll ask Alex your questions. Alex Anthopoulos joins us at 5:40. New Leafs assistant GM Kyle Dubas, 5:15.